Om Shanti, and welcome to everyone here, and of course a welcome to those who are online, and a welcome to our special guest, Brother Charlie, originally from Melbourne, and still from Australia. Charlie, having graduated from Melbourne University, pursued his spiritual quest, philosophical and spiritual quest, traveling throughout Asia, the Middle East, Europe, and finally to the United Kingdom, where his quest was fulfilled when he met Daddy Junkie and Jayanti Ben. After that, he continued his travels back to India, back to Australia, where he started a center in Melbourne in 1977 and has continued to open centers in Australia. I believe there are now 40 centers in Australia, including some very beautiful retreat centers. So Charlie, when he traveled across Asia and the Middle East, he stayed in many different communities, Muslim, Taoist, Sikh, Christian, Buddhist, and he continues to travel throughout the world with this rich understanding of the cultures that he met in those days, and no doubt he was received as a special guest then, and to this day he is received once more as a special guest in centers throughout the world where he teaches meditation and Raj Yoga. So he's the national coordinator for the Asia-Pacific region, so of course travels extensively throughout these countries. And we welcome him, and very happy to have you, Charlie. Bye.
Om Shanti. And thank you so much, Shuna, for your lovely introduction. And I think, like everyone sitting in this hall, it's so special to be in Madhuban at this time, isn't it? And I don't know the image you have, but I sort of feel we're in a little spiritual bubble, sort of sitting on the top of a mountain. Do you feel you're in a little spiritual bubble? Who feels that? And our poor world out there is going through so much chaos, so much upheaval, so much conflict. How important is it for us to be generating so many loving feelings to our brothers and sisters in the world? I thought tonight I'll just share a little bit, excuse me, I'll just share a little bit, and then there will be some time for questions as well. But I would love to have half an hour meditation, and especially for our Didi Nirmala, who's the instrument of this wonderful place, Gyan Sarovar. You know, we keep getting news of Didi, and yesterday we heard she was a little bit better, but unfortunately she's gone a little bit back again today. And I always feel that the doctors are doing a great job to support her, but she also needs the goodwill of all the hearts of the Divine Family. In 2005, I was a part of a group who had been 30 years with Baba. We were celebrating 3 decades of service with Baba. And Baba was coming in the Diamond Hall, and they invited us to sit in front of Baba, close to the front. And after Baba had spoken the Mauli, Baba asked who had been 30 years in foreign countries, who'd been with Baba, and then he asked us to stand up, and we stood up. And as Baba always does, he meets with that loving drishti, that amazing drishti. And then Baba said some really sweet things. But twice he said, set a date for perfection. And afterwards, this little group, there's only 8 or 10 of us, were discussing how we need sometimes to really have an aim, because if we don't really focus on a date or a time, we meander in Brahman life. We just sort of go along. But the discussion then came to really, what is perfection? What does perfection really look like in a practical way? Because it's a very sort of nebulous term, if I can use that word. But when it really comes into my practical day-to-day life, how does perfection look? And it's amazing that in the next Mauli, Baba said, love in the heart is the very easy way to become complete and perfect. Love in the heart for everyone is the very easy way to become complete and perfect. And then Baba went on and he described the qualifications of a soul who's really built that self-respect. And Baba said that the soul with self-respect will respect everyone. The soul with self-respect will be humble. The expression of one who has a lot of self-respect is humility will be a part of their nature. A soul with self-respect will be loved by all, and a soul with self-respect will be loving to all. And then Baba went on to say, not just to a limited amount of love to a limited number, but really loving to all. So Baba was really building this picture of what it means to be loving and how self-respect is like that support to be able to have those feelings of love for all. And then Baba said something so lovely, something like that they will merge the specialty of every soul in their vision. So sometimes I think, you know, we have our awareness and thoughts are created there. Our awareness projects our attitude and it creates an atmosphere. And when we hold the specialty of another in our awareness, it's a genuine feeling of appreciation. Then they get that vibration, they get that feeling, they get that sense of support. And I then Baba went on, I can remember this Mauli quite well, because Baba said, Baba has the maximum love for everyone, everywhere. And then Baba said, follow the Father. And he said it a few times. And Baba said that no one is left out of Baba's heart. So we know Baba. Baba is unlimited and Baba's up there. We're the ones who've had 2,500 years of experiences of relationships on a completely different level, a body conscious level. But then Baba gave drishti. And you know how sometimes Baba would start and speak and then he'd just give drishti, and that really backed up what Baba was saying. And then Baba said very slowly, do you have so much love for the Brahman family? Are you loving? Are you loving to all? Do you feel this is my brother, my sister? Do you feel this one belongs to me? The way Baba was speaking was incredibly powerful. And it just makes me feel that so much of our journey is not just rebuilding who I am and my relationship with myself, but rebuilding how to have these clean, pure relationships with others, and how to really harmonize, learn to dance the dance of samskaras at this time in the cycle. And sometimes I have the thought that peace is our original state. And when we stepped out of peace at the beginning of the copperage, a deep discomfort emerged, you know, a really deep discomfort. And for half a cycle, we searched to regain that quality of peace we lost. But I would say harmony is also my original nature. And when we step out of harmony, there's such a deep discomfort inside too. It's like something's not right. All of us here in life, we have the experience of sometimes being in harmony. And I've, you know, my life too, that when you really feel in harmony with someone, even a group or a team, there's hardly a sweeter experience when you feel you're just on the same page, because embedded in that harmony, that dance of samskaras, even though you may be quite different, your different personalities, but embedded in that harmony is trust and a sense of respect and love and belonging and allowing that person to be who they are. It's such a sweet feeling. It feels that this is right, this is how things should be. But if there is a clash of samskaras, and I think we all know that. Anyone not had this experience? Everyone's laughing, so I imagine that. You know, it's not just a clash of samskaras. It's something profoundly deep, I feel. Because it just feels wrong. Because it's like I'm almost going against my original nature. It's going against who I really am, because the programming in me for 2,500 years, half the cycle, is perfect harmony. And when there's disharmony, it's so discordant internally. That's why we find it so challenging. And sometimes I feel that when I fall into disharmony with somebody, if there's a clash of samskaras, deep, deep down, it feels like a failure. It feels like, you know, I've failed, you know, and to let go the responsibility of that failure, to free myself from the failure of not being able to have a harmonious relationship with you, what strategy do I take? I put the responsibility on you. I begin to blame you. Because the discomfort of accepting that I can't have a sustainable, loving, harmonious relationship with you is hard to manage. And I remember once Daddy Jenke saying that we all have three major obstacles on this journey. We're on this journey to this incredible point. Baba points us to the highest point. And the first obstacle, she was saying, was the obstacle from society. That we're close, we have a loving family, friends, and then suddenly I have a different truth and I want to live differently, I think differently. I may eat different things, I want to follow a pure life, etc. And we all know it's different for everyone in this hall. It can create a lot of upheaval. And some aren't even able to manage that obstacle. I can't tell you how many times in Australia I've heard people finish the course, and with so much love and enthusiasm, they said, this is my truth, this is where I belong, and I've never seen them again. Because they go home and then people close to them disapprove of what they're doing, and they go through that sort of sense of the obstacle of the powerful opinions of the society out there, the family. And of course we have to listen, we have to give respect. But some fall by the wayside at that point. But the second obstacle was the obstacle of others' samskaras. And it's an obstacle that each one of us will have to face at the end of the cycle. And sometimes I think, you know, we have this incredible learning, don't we, about ourselves. Our life is this constant observation, learning, transformation as we hold Baba's hand on the journey to becoming pure. But equally, we're in this incredible learning curve about how to have these harmonious relationships, rebuild loving relationships. Because my experience is the biggest difficulty for most of us is when we have conflict with somebody or a group of people. And we sit in meditation, that just takes over my thinking, absorbs me, and I say, no, Baba, I shouldn't. But it keeps coming back again and again because I can't really resolve these feelings of difference. And where the family path, this is the family path. So the healing of relationships, you know, having loving and harmonious relationships is so important for our well-being and our spiritual health. And the way I've looked at relationships for some time is that I have a whole spectrum of sanskaras in my subconscious. Just think, in this micro point, we have the entire story, my story in the memory track. And I have the capacity to be absolutely sweet, loving, kind, generous on one hand. But at the other end of the spectrum, I have the capacity to be so easily hurt, so deeply upset. You know, really powerful feelings. And when we come in front of another human being, it can be a Lokic family member, a Brahman family member, whoever. Their face, their vibration, their words, their behavior, my memories associated trigger what's sitting in my memory track. So stuff just floods into my mind. And in a way, they become an instrument to flush out who I really am, what is really sitting within me. Sometimes I think our relationships, others are like a messenger to really show me who I am. Because at the end of the cycle, there's so many clouds and denial inside of me. But whenever a feeling, a button is pressed and something flows into my mind, it may be upset, I may be upset, I may be hurt, whatever it may be, it's actually my feeling. And we all know this. We all teach this. We all believe this. And yet I still think, and I include myself, we fall back into this old pattern. Once Baba said, the one who follows the path of falsehood is seeing others. The Parchintan vision. Do you remember that Mauli a month or two ago? That amazing Mauli. The Parchintan mind is a mind constantly thinking about people, responding to people. My whole inner world is still engaged with people, behaviors, where I sit, where they sit, what they think of me, etc. Whereas Baba's taking us into the Swachintan, really the mind to be able to look at myself and see what I need to do. And how much do I take full responsibility? To me, the more I go on, I think this is such a key in self-transformation, to have the courage and honesty to take full responsibility for what I feel inside, because then I can change. As long as I keep subtly projecting it, actually I'm giving my power away to others when I do that. And really, how much have I done this? Because if I don't take myself out of the obstacles associated with human relationships, in Brahman life I can get stuck in that place. Just recycling so many emotions, so many feelings, so many stories about what happened, what is said, what they've done. And I get stuck and I start to really believe, you know, that someone or something is really the problem. And so first, the obstacles from society. Second, the obstacles of the sanskaras of others. But thirdly, the real obstacle, which is my own sanskaras. And I remember Daddy saying that really, she said, we can only really go deep into this once I've really stepped out of the game of constantly the Parchinton world, of my mind absorbed in people and their behaviours. Only when I step back, in a sense I have good wishes for people, can I really look deeply at who I am and ultimately what I need to do. And that third step, which is really the obstacles of my own samskaras. And sometimes I think that we come to Baba and we're like the child, and the child, you know, we meet Baba, and the first step of change is like change of habits. They change overnight sometimes, maybe not for everyone, but a lot of people. And that seems easy. You know, we take birth to Baba, and with that initial courage and power, a lot of habits change. Eating habits, sleeping habits, a whole lot of things let go. But then as we begin to grow up in Brahman life, I feel the change is more like soft sanskars. And these are sanskars which are formed in the last few lifetimes. Sometimes intolerance, impatience, seeing defect, these sorts of things. And with effort and jnana and yoga, they change. But then we come often, and I often use the word, we have a midlife crisis. Has anyone had a Brahman midlife crisis? I can hear a few yeses over this side of the world. And what happens is that things I thought I'd changed years ago emerge with a lot of force. And I start to think, is this really working? Am I moving forward? Because often I think when we come to Baba, our bhakti sanskara kicks in. And that bhakti sanskara tells me to suppress things and to push things down. And at some point, after 10 years, 15 years, or any time, they can come out, and I start to think, I've been a Brahmin for years, I've been practicing all this stuff, and all this rubbish is coming out. Actually, it's not wrong, it's not bad, it's all a part of the process of change. Because I think we reach a sense of maturity where I begin to manage this path of self-transformation. We have the aim to become pure, but I have to learn how to manage a life where I'm dealing with people and their behaviors, I'm dealing with my own samskaras. Sometimes they trigger and things erupt in me. Rather than overreacting to myself, understand that this is a journey to learn and keep applying jnana and yoga so that it takes me to my destination. And so the obstacles, sometimes from out there, then from others, but ultimately it's really with my samskaras. And just like we have this inner journey of learning where I'm constantly learning about myself, we also have the journey of healing our relationships with others. And I honestly feel that only once I've really taken the full responsibility for who I am and take responsibility for my feelings can I really start the journey of harmonizing my samskaras and really being the person I would love to be. And even this journey of harmonizing samskaras goes through a phase. And I think the first phase is, if I can say, harmony, but superficial harmony. We come into this amazing family, and it's an incredible family. You know, I'm just always so deeply touched when I hear the stories of Brahmins, hear the courage of Brahmins. And when we come into this family, I think a lot of us instantly feel, this is my family. We feel so close to each other. And yet we also know embedded in that closeness sometimes are some pretty powerful karmic accounts as well. Is that true? Is that true? So we're wise. We're managing the journey. We're managing this journey. But this amazing family, I remember the first time I came to Madhuban, and it was such a sweet atmosphere. And I loved the way we could have a yoga buddy for 2 hours and such deep spiritual power. The yoga buddies of those days I can still remember. And then we would have a Brahma Bhojan together. And I remember once Brahma Bhojan was in silence. And at the end of the Brahma Bhojan, we all sit on the floor. You may have seen the pictures of Brahma Baba. They used to sit in rows and sit on the floor, and people would come around and put food on the plate, and you'd eat in silence, remembering Baba. And at the end, they served ice cream. And all the ice cream went around, and then Daddy G got her ice cream and poured it all over Didi G. Then Didi G got her ice cream, poured it all over Daddy G. And before you knew it, there's ice cream everywhere. And I really love the fact that, you know, we can be really deep and spiritual, but very light and not too over serious and really childlike in a way. So that family, we step in and there is harmony. But I'd say the second step is disharmony emerges. And sometimes I think of relationships like an iceberg. Not that they're cold, but you know the iceberg is 10% above the surface, 90% below. So when you meet somebody, it's a little bit superficial at first. You just get to know them superficially. But what happens when we get to know each other, we start to work together, live together? What happens is that, you know, all that stuff under the, in the samskara starts to emerge. And differences will emerge. We are different. It's the reality. It's inevitable. But because differences emerge, sometimes then we start to feel critical, we start to feel negative, we start to talk to other people, etc., etc. And what is really happening is that sometimes we find it very hard to deal with differences. Very difficult to deal with our differences. But these differences are inevitable. And to me, maturing in Brahman life is actually allowing people to be different. One thing I've always been amazed is how different our perception is of everything. You know, if someone does something on the stage here, we're all looking at it, and you tend to think we all think the same thing, but everyone's looking at it through a different lens. Baba's lens is purity and perfection, but all of our lenses are clouded by our karmic story, our past experiences, our moods, our culture. A whole lot of things are distorting our lenses. And so we don't really see. So we see things in completely different ways. And I think this is so important to understand how differently we often understand things. And someone once told me about a myth they call the injection myth. That when you talk to somebody, you know, the idea is you create an idea in your mind and you express it and you sort of inject it into someone else's mind. Or sometimes I think it's like you type up an email in your mind, you press the send button, it goes pop into your inbox, and you understand it exactly as I do. And then you disagree with me. Or you say, no, I don't like that. I know I'm not going to do that. And we can't understand it. We just can't. It seems so logical and normal to me. Because we forget that my idea is going to go through hundreds of little past experiences, karmic stories, perceptions, filters, all sorts of things in your mind. The message will be distorted. It will change. And this is where I think, you know, disharmony or differences will emerge between us. And if we go too far with this, we start to get a mindset, you are the problem. I start to get this fixation in my head, you're the problem. And that becomes, I think, spiritually a dangerous place to be, that I step out of my truth of Swachintan, having pure thoughts for the self, and I get caught in the story, as I've done for half a cycle, in you, your behavior, how you're performing. And sometimes because it becomes so big in my mind, I feed it with so many thoughts. And before I know it, you know, I've stepped back into that place, that middle, that second step of the obstacles of other sanskaras, where it means I'm not really looking at myself, and it will disconnect me from Baba. And then the third step, I think, the first really being harmony but superficial. The second, differences are going to emerge. It's normal. It will happen. But we're on this path to see how we work through those differences and how we, the third step of rebuilding harmony in my life, beginning to rebuild harmony, where I begin to accept differences, accept specialties, accept uniqueness. In our world at the moment, people feel so threatened by difference. They feel really, if someone's different to me or thinks different or looks different, because of a lack of self-respect. The more we build our self-respect, you know, the more I'm really living in that sense of self-value, I can have that big heart that can really accommodate all different types of people and all different flavors of personalities that I'm coming in front of. And so love, I think, is really allowing people to be different, allowing people to have different views, perspectives, and opinions. Love is not that we think the same. And because sometimes that sort of love means that I want to control others to think and behave in the way I like and the way I do. And to me, this rebuilding of harmony, harmonious sanskaras, is really the story of the rosary. You know, Baba comes at the end of the cycle, and we have 8 billion human beings in the world, and Baba collects 108 souls who are very, very different. They've had so many different past experiences, lifetime stories, families in this life, and yet, because of their love for Baba and their love for truth, they begin to mold so that the rosary has a sense of harmony. They remain unique. They have their own specialties. If you met the daddies and the daddas, which most of us did, some of them were sort of very lively and extrovert, some very quiet and introvert, some very creative, some very more sustainers, some sort of gyani, some yogi. There were a whole variety. And yet, all of them came together to form this rosary. They began, because of their love for Baba, they really began to mold, adjust, so that we work together in this sort of unity in diversity style of thing. And one of the things which I've learned or observed in recent years is the power of acceptance. I think it's a virtue which is really important at this time. We're at the end of the cycle. We have every imaginable type of behavior in sanskara around us. How do I manage? And in the past, sometimes I think I had a wrong understanding that acceptance was sort of, I should tolerate, I should like, that sort of thing. I should even tolerate sometimes some behaviors that I don't think are appropriate. So that's not really acceptance. Sometimes that can be apathy or something like that. But I began to think that acceptance is letting go resistance. Letting go all my resistance internally. Letting go the mindset of againstness. I've made up that word. I don't know what other word to use. You know, what happens is there's a situation. There's a person in front of me and their sanskaras I'm finding challenging. And what I do is I start to build a wall of resistance in my mind because of their behavior or because of this situation. And that wall is built with the bricks of disapproval, dislike, opposition, rejection. You know those feelings. We mightn't even say anything, but that energy is palpable. And it's something we've built up in the second half of the cycle. Anything I don't like, I disapprove of, I dislike, this incredibly powerful resistance emerges inside of me. And I begin to ask myself, why does that happen sometimes to certain personalities, this instant sort of feeling? I'm sure you know what I mean. And I began to realize it's like an attachment to how I feel things should be, or how I feel you should be. I have an attachment to things should be this way. I have an attachment that people should behave this way. I have an attachment that things should be like this. And when they're not, I resist, and I build up this resistance. And I find the more I build up that resistance, negativity, there's a lot of negativity inside, and people feel it. It's like a current which affects my relationships and creates disharmony in relationships. And I really then was thinking about this, and there was a person that I noticed sometimes this wall would come up. And I noticed each time this person did certain things, I had this resistance to them. And I really began to observe that I had my own attachment to how I think they should work or behave or whatever. And in literally a second, I just said, because when you have that resistance, you feel a bit stressed, you feel a bit uncomfortable, you feel a bit peaceless. It's not a good feeling. I just let it go. And it just went. And it just, a light went off in my head so deeply that actually, you know, I'm the one that builds this resistance, because often I'm attached to outcomes, attached to results, attached to how things should be in my area. And when I become attached, then I build up this resistant feeling, and I feel very uncomfortable, and people get bad vibrations from me. And when I let go of the resistance, I can still communicate. I can still be open. I can still talk, because the vibrations are really different. And I think that in building harmony, in a sense, you know, having harmonious relationships, to really reflect why I feel resistance and why I'm sometimes so attached to how things should be, how people should be, people should behave according to the way I like. Because in a sense, drama is telling us everyone's playing their eternal part. And the second thing I feel, along with this acceptance, this sort of acceptance which means letting go this inner resistance to people who are different, things that are different, and letting go this attachment to how things should be, I began to think also that the virtue of detachment is essential at the moment. I think, you know, sometimes I just have the image in my mind when I came into this world at the beginning of the cycle. Just think, I wasn't attached to this body. I had no attachment to any role, no attachment to any person. I was absolutely free. And then we collected till we have become incredibly dependent. And in a sense, this whole life is dismantling this whole network of attachment I've created, fundamentally freeing myself. And in terms of harmonizing sanskaras, or not being influenced by the powerful behavior, attitudes, sanskaras of others, to me that's the journey to purity. But also there's different steps. And Baba often says, children see the soul in the body. And I think at first we just imagine there's a soul. In a way, we're seeing the body, we're still body conscious, but we imagine how the soul sits. So really still we're quite affected by people. Even though I believe you're a soul, I'm looking at it, I'm imagining, but still your sanskaras are affecting me. Secondly, as I practice to be a bodiless soul, as I practice detachment from all my labels, and I see you more as a bodiless soul, I can feel I'm less influenced by you. I'm still a bit, but I'm less influenced. My own experience is the more I took the third step of really practicing to be incorporeal, to actually feel I'm a non-physical being. Why? Because when I feel that and I see how you are, it's almost like I'm lifted beyond the influence of so much in this physical world. And I feel even less influenced by behaviors, attitudes, opinions, situations. But even the fourth step for me was not only seeing how the soul sits in the body, the incorporeal, how I, the incorporeal, see the incorporeal, that I have an eternal part recorded within me, and so do you. You are playing out your part, and almost automatically I begin to observe your part. I mightn't find it very sweet. It might not be very sweet to me, but still it doesn't affect me. I observe rather than absorb it. So with practice of really becoming soul conscious, detached, automatically I feel less and less under the influence of others' sanskaras and vibrations. And therefore, I think, can give a lot more good wishes and pure feelings. Because there's superficial harmony, then there's disharmony, then we start to rebuild harmony. And then I think harmony is when I'm in that sweet place of love and detachment, that soul-conscious state, where I realize I live in a world. Some are so sweet, some are not so sweet. Some are so easy, some are not so easy, they're more difficult. Some work with a system, some won't work with a system. Some are this, some are that, some are this, some are that. If I keep allowing all of this to dominate my inner world, it's like I can't really do the real work of Brahman life. And one of the biggest lessons for me has been the understanding of number-wise. I think that's an incredible word. It's a word invented by Baba. And what does it mean? To me, it's not judgmental at all. It's not judgmental. You know, in a body-conscious way, maybe you could see it. It's just the reality of life, the absolute reality of life. We are all different. And when I begin to understand that everyone has a different level of understanding, everyone has a different capacity, then I feel when I can really understand the depth of that truth, then I can harmonize with almost anybody. And I have the feeling that when Brahma Baba started, you know, when Shiv Baba started to come in him and he started to understand what was happening, his intoxication was incredible. He was absolutely intoxicated. And he thought everyone else would be the same. And then he saw some weren't happy, some were very happy, but some weren't happy. Some were sort of really enthusiastic, some were a bit tired. And he started to understand that everyone's absorbing at a different level. So this word helped him, that everyone is different. Everyone is different. And I think we're at a time in the cycle now that we need a huge, big heart in the Brahman family too. Because it's so easy to jump to conclusions about others and why and this sort of thing. And yet, my feeling, and Baba often says, is that everyone's intent is to be better. Everyone's intent is to come closer to Baba. But all of us are dealing with so many issues. It's the end of the cycle. And to have that incredibly generous-hearted attitude, that loving attitude, so that my attitude is more uplifting and healing than that subtle vibration of criticism or the powerful vibration of resistance, the resistance to you and what you're saying or doing, because that resistance affects my relationship with you and it definitely affects my stage too. And I think that this big-hearted approach at the end of the cycle, that the whole world is my family. Baba has made us instruments to absolutely beat everyone with that, those loving feelings, those elevated feelings. And to me, nothing will make me healthier than when I remember one, I'm in love with one, and I just give those feelings of love and respect, goodwill to everyone who comes in front of me, whoever they are. And that's why I think that when Baba says, you know, do you have that much love for the Brahman family? Are you loving? Do you feel they're my brother, they're my sister? You know, why? Because Baba knows that we can only grow when we let go. We really let go the habit of resistance and clashing. You know, the more I'm stuck on that level, I can't really have the depth of relationship. Sometimes, and I'll finish in a sec, and there may be a moment for a question or two, but, you know, I observed myself once when Baba went through years and years of children, good wishes, good wishes, good wishes, good wishes, good wishes. You know, it was like a mantra. And what I observed really helped me, that each time someone behaves in a certain way, someone's samskaras emerge, and I react, and I have critical feeling, negative feeling, bad feeling, hurt feeling, any feeling, what happens to my stage? It goes down, and I give power back to my body consciousness. I reinforce my impurity. So here we are trying to progress spiritually, but I'm reacting to people, and my reactions are reinforcing my old story, my body conscious story, my impurity. And Baba's way is, have good wishes for those who behave well, those who don't. For those who have good wishes for you, those who don't. We know that's easy to say. We all know that. But the real secret is, each time I generate goodwill, I go to a place in my samskaras of purity. I give power back to my pure samskaras. I'm strengthening myself spiritually. And it's like a decision, that I have a choice. I can react, my stage will go down, and then I feel I'm not really progressing, or I can really practice not taking on hurt or disrespect, but having good wishes, and that begins to really make my stage grow a lot. And so really that elevated feelings, that love is the basis of harmonizing sanskaras. Om Shanti. Yeah, so if anyone wants to say something or ask something, there's a microphone down the front.
Om Shanti, brother. Om Shanti, family. I'd just like to share a very short experience that I had.
Could you just mention your name and where you're from? That's right.
My name is Michael Barton. I'm from South Africa, a little town called Nelspruit. Anyway, I went through a very difficult time. with relationships. And I remember the one Murli where Baba said, where there is humility, there cannot be conflict. And I actually took those words and I made them large and put them on my wall. And so every day I look at them, and every time I feel that conflict coming up, I say, Baba said where there is humility, there cannot be conflict. And where is this lack of humility coming from? And every time I know it's coming from me. So I've got to look inside myself and say, am I being humble in this situation? Thank you so much. Om Shanti.
Thank you. That was lovely. Can I ask how many have got a few lines on your wall that you read every day? Who puts them in your office? Or yeah, it's quite powerful, isn't it? The power of humility diffuses so many problems. I really believe when the personality is humble, it's almost an automatic resolution of differences and conflicts. It's true. Yeah.
My name is Jos. I'm from Holland and Italy. And thank you for the class. Thank you from the depth of experiences. Being in different places over the last few years, I've come to know that definitely call it by culture and religion and personalities. But within Brahmin family, say for instance in Europe or in Africa, with all good intentions and good behavior, you make mistakes. Because, for instance, some parts of the world live with great family feelings. Other parts of the world live with great individual feelings. And from that, behavior comes. And sometimes, in one place, it's not understood, vice versa. And it's all done with good intentions from everyone. So, this is how I try to do it. Every Brahmin has good intentions. No Brahmin wants something bad. We just want to have this harmony.
Thank you, Brother Jos. Yes, everyone has that pure intent in their heart. Thank you.
I'm told there's 87 here. So please come down.